This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com. This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection.
Hi, I'm Thelonious Gertz.
And I'm Rhea John, and this is Daily Discoveries, the weekly roundup of stories from the science section.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about two articles that really capture student involvement at UW. One of them is from our pre-med beat reporter, Teresa Lee, and she covers the fears that pre-meds don't tell you about when they're kind of going through the undergraduate process in the run-up to applying to medical school. And then we're also going to talk about the 2019 coverage of Dub Hacks, which was written by one of our contributing writers, and it covered the UW Code competition, which happened last Saturday.
Can we start with the pre-med one?
Yeah,
definitely. I think that'd be a good route to go. So the pre-med article is part of Teresa Lee's column. She was here on the episode that we had with the beat writers for the science section,
yes,
talking about her interest, her own pre-med path, and how she got started on that journey. And this article specifically follows another undergraduate who's also pursuing a pre-med path and talks about some of the fears, the difficulties, and the excitement that goes into the pre-med path and preparing for that.
Yeah. Anyway, so Teresa interviews two students, Naomi Desai, who is the president of the International Medical Fraternity, Phi Delta Epsilon, and she also interviews Colton Murdich, who is the president of the Alpha Epsilon Delta Medical Honor Society. And so one of the things that's really interesting is she talks about kind of some of the fears that pre-meds have and some of the anxieties. One of them that I think is really great is Naomi says, "While medicine is the heart of it, I also love hearing people's stories and learning how you can treat people by learning about what they've been through. The blend of art and science is what gets me excited about medicine." So it's very clear that students of any like level of interest have a lot of drive, but I think it's also like especially good to hear students who, you know, on the surface level seem like they've got it all figured out, hear them talk about their kind of like fears and worries about this kind of stuff, because I think it serves as like a way to kind of like diffuse some of that tension or anxiety a lot of students have, that they feel like, oh, I'm like so behind, and like I'm not like, you know, doing this to the best that I could. So I think that was really powerful.
Yeah, I actually really appreciated the part where Colton also was talking about, you know, academic competency and freshman year weed out classes.
Oh, definitely.
Because that is such a shocker. And it's definitely such a commonplace feeling, I think, for a lot of people when they first come to university that, you know, and I think most of the time, the way that college admissions works, it pulls a certain strata of students, right, into the college setting. So these students are all used to performing a certain way in high school, and then you hit college, and it's like everybody kind of performs the same way you do. So then you have to figure out all over again where you fit into this pack. Is it in the middle? Is it in the top? Is it in the bottom? And everyone is, I mean, luckily, everyone is so talented and competent and interested in the stuff they're pursuing, which makes it really hard to find your footing and feel like you're actually good at the things you want to study.
Yeah. And he says that it wasn't doubting my pre-med path, but it was doubting my academic ability to be adaptable to different contents, which is huge for medicine. Is your medical schooling, let's say 1 month you're doing the liver and it's amazing because you love the liver, and then the next you're doing the renal system and you're like, ah, I hate kidneys, not about those. That's not going to fly if you have to be adaptable, which I think that's a very good anecdotal quote. And it also like kind of mentions how like the weed out classes are good in theory to like, you know, make sure the best of the best get into the program. But it also does kind of highlight one of the issues that like these weed out classes can't measure everything, and they can't get everything that would make someone like a really strong doctor. So I think one of the things that he's pointing out there is that, you know, like, I mean, the discouragement can be really high, and like that's just a real fear a lot of students.
And I think it's really easy to sympathize with this, with the perspective that he had. to quote him, he said, "I studied my butt off and I didn't have it pan out the way I wanted it to, and that was kind of heartbreaking." And I think a lot of people have that experience, you know, like these kinds of tests, especially because they're all along a curve, can really capture, I guess, like competency in certain subjects, but sometimes, you know, it misses out on that passion or that interest that people just have where they want to do this thing so badly and be part of it. So
It's just a really tough thing to like do your absolute best and still fail, like, and just like be like, we've all been there, and it sucks like so bad.
It's a really tough lesson to learn when you feel like you've done everything and it's still not what you want it to be, but
But what I've heard from all my pre-med friends is that, like, sticking with it is the kind of the most important. Like, the academic ability is obviously important, but, like, really just, like, staying with the difficulty that it is and making sure that you really want to do this. That's kind of the dedication is what is most important.
I honestly really admire their commitment because the kind of prereqs that you have to take for pre-med, it's like all the, you know, the chem and then the bio, and then you take physics as well.
It's rigorous.
Those are all the weed out classes that we like basically have.
And math.
Yes, too. And the math is such an intense like weed out series as well, like the beginning calculus series. Mm-hmm. So to have to take not just one or two of those series, but all of them and still have the drive to stick with it.
Yeah.
There's gotta be some really very committed physicians.
Yeah, it would be interesting to do an episode on weed outs.
I don't know if we can fit that many crying people into the podcast.
Yeah, no, probably the podcast. Well, yeah, probably not. All right, so that's essentially the gist of this article. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other comments or things you want to talk about with this?
I think just that, you know, there's so much of an emphasis placed, especially for people, just in general, for people who want to go to grad school, but especially for people who want to go into medicine, and especially because UW Medicine is such a big top-tier medical school. There's, like, a lot of pressure. You have to be the best of the best, even within a very competitive pack.
Yeah.
And you can see what those very competitive students look like because they work on campus. So I think the focus falls onto your GPA and your academics, and those are kind of very stiff sort of indicators that describe the pre-med students at our school.
Yeah.
And it's nice to get a more personal view into the stuff that comes behind those academics and like the people that are actually working in these classes behind it.
This podcast is also brought to you by Global Innovation Exchange. Are you ready to lead the development of innovative solutions for connected devices or robotics? The UW Master of Science and Technology Innovation, MSTI, offered by the Global Innovation Exchange, teaches the skills needed to go from concept to development and onto market. GAX is a new model of experiential education founded by the UW, Tsinghua University, and Microsoft. Work alongside industry sponsors to get hands-on experience. Courses are focused in the areas of design thinking, technology development, and entrepreneurship. Learn more at our next info session on October 3rd at 6 p.m. at the UW Allen Library Auditorium, and explore our cutting-edge space on December 5th at 5:20 p.m. at the Global Innovation Exchange in Bellevue. Learn more and sign up at gixnetwork.org. GIX, design, build, launch.
Yeah, and I think that's really what just kind of is generally so exciting about Teresa's column, as it gets to explore a lot of these issues that people just kind of don't talk about for a variety of reasons. And I believe she's going to do an article in the future about like talking about like, you know, getting into a research lab and doing that, like really getting hands-on experience, which is another thing that like some people kind of forget to do. Yeah, anyway, let's move on to talking about Dub Hacks. The Dub Hacks is the largest collegiate hackathon in the Pacific Northwest since 2014, attracting thousands of hackers across the world and top tech sponsors like Microsoft, Google, and Facebook, all to UW's campus. And so this year's competition, which took place on October 12th and 13th, was also the first ever hackathon to use the HoloLens 2, which is a mixed reality headset, in the hardware lab for hackers to use. So the students got the first chance to like get hands-on experience with that.
What is a mixed reality headset? Because I never heard of that before, but it sounds exciting.
So it's basically like a type of like more advanced VR, and so they got to kind of work with it, like using it for various applications. And the Dub Hacks co-director said that they were actually only notified 2 days before by Microsoft they could use it, so it was a surprise to them, and it was also a surprise to students, which I think is really exciting. So you get to see like groundbreaking technology in action with students who will probably be the innovators of tomorrow. So that's just really exciting. And this article is great because it highlights a bunch of groundbreaking student efforts in computer science that really kind of go beyond just like the pure code aspect, but they also have a lot of really passionate and interesting missions behind them. Do you want to talk about U Flourish first?
So U Flourish is a mental health web application, and it's created by a senior and a junior studying at UW, as well as a junior studying at UBC, British Columbia. And then the senior and the junior who are from our school, the senior studying informatics and the junior studying geography, which is a very interesting mixture. I thought it was really cool that they got someone from, you know, they included people from so many different majors in this project. And it's supposed to help people with finding resources that are tailored to improving their mental health.
And it was also very topical, as the one of the interviewers said, that it was National Mental Health Awareness Day. So it has a big tie-in for the application. And so one of the things the writer did is she followed two groups throughout the entire day of the hackathon. She followed ReadMe 3D, which is an immersive multisensory language learning experience created by two sophomores studying computer science and two sophomores studying electrical engineering. ReadMe 3D is an immersive environment for people with dyslexia, where they use the new HoloLens 2 to be able to work beyond that learning disability. What's really cool about this is the innovators from ReadMe 3D did not have any experience working with the HoloLens or any of its prerequisite technology. So they basically just like built this in 2 days, which is just fascinating.
I thought that was the coolest part of this whole thing, because, you know, these projects, they're so helpful and the applications are so interesting. Like, they're so relevant to people's lives and real issues that people face. But then they're also saying that they've never built mixed reality projects like that. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really cool that when you have an interest, you can go out and find ways to apply yourself in such an exciting field.
And they spent the entire evening in between the days of the competition testing it, which I thought was cool. Like, you know, that's some pretty extreme dedication. What's really interesting about this competition is in the ReadMe 3D example, they actually got to talk to Microsoft judges who were really interested in that and interested how it could apply to accessibility. So this competition is really great at building real-world connections. And for a lot of these like students, you know, they can get a chance to, you know, either be discovered or work on some really exciting projects with industry professionals and stuff like that. So I think that is also a really interesting and exciting part of this.
I also really appreciated the co-director saying that a big focus of this year was on diversity and inclusion, and that they worked really hard to reach out to all different people to come and participate, because I think actually, kind of excitingly, that's sort of been a new theme that we're seeing recently in some of our CS-related pieces, is more and more, you know, people who are leading organizations or groups or events saying that a big thing they're interested in is fostering diversity and inclusion. That's something we've been waiting to hear for a really long time, so it's great to see that it's happening and coming to the forefront.
And they're also, and like, specifically they're reaching out to educational diversity, like getting students from community colleges to come participate in that. I think that's really important, because a lot of the time we just think about big universities as being like hubs for tech, but there's also a lot of bright students from local colleges that are not really being encouraged or, you know, tapped into to get these same opportunities. So I think that's a really cool, like, you know, leveling aspect. And I also think the focus of accessibility is really important, considering like UW's context as building a lot of accessibility research. It's really cool to see undergraduates getting a chance to take part in that as well.
It really intrigues me that, you know, these projects seem very complex and high level, and it's nice to see that even people who don't have graduate degrees are able to kind of dip their toes in and figure some stuff out with this.
At the very end of the article, one of their assistant directors said that there isn't any hackathon that really does social good that is rooted in the same values that we have. All of them are for entrepreneurship and innovative tech. What makes Dub Hacks different is that we use tech as a platform for empowerment, which I thought was just a great quote, because it really does show how their diversity message is hitting home, and like it has a really meaningful and real acknowledgement of the need to, you know, make those changes and really make a difference. It's not just lip service, which is pretty exciting to see. Yeah, so do you have any other comments about this, or?
No, just that I think it's really exciting, and now I want to find out more about the next one.
Yeah, I want to go next year. I think it'll be pretty fun.
I want to meet these people who are just, you know, with no experience hashing out these really cool, exciting, innovative projects.
Yeah, I think next year would be cool to have a team of writers go and do like a comprehensive coverage, like
that'd be fun.
Cover like 5 or 10 different teams and do that. So yeah, thank you guys for listening today, and we will be back next week, admittedly a little bit earlier, to talk about more articles in the science section.